back to the teaching. What we're going to do is really going to be two parts. So this is part one. I want to go slowly through it. So it's so important. I think our society is Gentiles, raises Gentiles, which would be non-Hebrews, and we have very little information about covenants. We don't even, it doesn't even enter our mind what a covenant is, except maybe in marriage. And as we know now, the marriages are not, really not covenants at all either, you know, when it comes down to. So this is on covenants, oaths, vows, and the blessing and the cursing. And so, one thing we've got to realize, this book, people say, well, we're not in a covenant right now. We're in the New Testament. Well, this book is the book of the covenant. This whole thing is the covenant. And so we have to know what period applies to us, but no matter what, it's an agreement. So to give you an idea of what covenant means, and it's the Hebrew word barit, used 264 times.
Will you spell it, please?
Yeah. B-E-R-I-T, barit. It's between nations, a treaty, alliance of friendship, between individuals, a pledge or agreement, with obligation between monarch and subject, a constitution, between God and man, a covenant accompanied by signs, sacrifices, and a solemn oath that sealed the relationship with promises of blessing for keeping the covenant and curses for breaking it. And so actually we should have that on marriage also. You know, when it really comes down, when you're entering into a covenant of marriage, it should be, here's the blessing side and here's the cursing side if you break this covenant. Mm-hmm. And with us, with Yahweh, your word is so important. You know, Christ said, do not swear. He says, say, your yea is yea and your nay is nay. It's too bad in our society it's not that way. So Yahweh is a covenant God. So this book of the covenant, it's called the book of the covenant. In Exodus 24:7, 2 Kings 23:2, verse 3, verse 21, 2 Chronicles 34, verse 30 and 31, those mostly all by Josiah, the book of the covenant. And so we got to relearn, especially for the younger generation, what a covenant is. And so, there's papers right there, if you could hand those out. I've only got five, I think. So to begin our learning, and this is, you know, we're trying to do advanced teachings where people here have actually a foundation. You know, the majority of pastors don't have a foundation. They have a foundation on theology, the study of theos, which is done by seminary, but they have very little knowledge about this book. You know, Tim was at a pastor's, a church meeting of men. And what did they know about? Is it Elijah with the axe head? Yeah, and so here's grown men.
They're teaching the word. Oh, they're 50 to 70
years old. Yeah, 50 to 70 years old. A little Bible study. And they never heard about Elijah with the floating, with the head of the axe. And I thought, you know, how sad that is. And obviously my parents had no idea of it. Your parents probably have no idea of it. You know, and so, and probably Sean's parents have no idea of it. So, because they've never read, or, you know, Wendy's folks too, they've never read the book, ever. So how can you keep a covenant, the agreement, if you don't know what the agreement even says? You can't. You don't have a covenant. So, but we have to understand, and so many people say, well, we're not under a covenant. Well, let's just take a look at things, and to be able to look at this paper, which is reconciling apparently contradicting verses in order to receive Yahweh's truth. So, we're going to look at blessing and cursings, and in Galatians it says we're not under the curse, and so we have to start looking at the whole word of what it has to say. And what we're going to do is just give you an example, not about covenant, but we're going to show you an example of how to look at the word when you have apparently contradicting verses. And so we began with seeing God. So first, or John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time. And 1 John 4:12 says, upon God hath no one at any time gazed. Okay. Well, now we have the contrary verses. And Yahweh appeared unto whom? Yeah, Abram, among the oaths of Mamre.
Genesis 18:1.
Yeah, that's Genesis 18:1. Genesis 32:30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I saw Elohim face to face, and my soul was delivered. Well, then those got to be reconciled. Now you have to be able to say, well, I say one, well, you have to look at the whole picture to find where they both agree. So they have to be brought that. And as we see in Exodus 33:11, thus Yahweh used to speak unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. So when he read that thing about no man has seen God at any time, I said, yeah, but you have to know about these other verses.
Yeah.
Let's go about faith and works. Yeah. Ephesians 2:8-9, and this is the church today. For by his favor have you been saved through means of faith, and this hath come to pass, not from you, of God the free gift, not from works, lest anyone should boast. Yeah. But then in James it says, what profit, my brethren, if one should be saying he hath faith but hath not works? Can his faith save him? So also faith it is not have not works is dead by itself. But one will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from my works, and I unto thee will show by my works my faith. But thou art willing to learn, O empty man, that faith apart from works is idle. And then at the end, you see that by works a man is declared righteous and not by faith alone. Well, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So Ephesians is saying this, and no works. And what this comes down many to, many times what I'm getting to, as we're going to see probably in part two, that today in people in the church age are saying they're not accountable for anything. There is no covenant.
Yeah.
You know, I am not obligated, since I have been saved, I am not obligated to do anything in this book. And I'm going to heaven. And that's really the mindset. It just automatically, I said Jesus is my Lord, and that's it. I'm done. Well, that's not what the word says.
I see.
Yeah. Works of the law. Okay. Here's Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. Okay. In consideration, and in contrast, 1 Corinthians 6:9, for know ye not that wrongdoers shall not inherit God's kingdom? Be not deceiving yourselves, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor sodomites shall inherit Yahweh's kingdom. And so we go right down through here. And then in Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the book was opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. Okay, but it's talking about here, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. So I have to be bringing in to say, is there, you know, very simply is, can a person become a Christian who refuses to love Yahweh with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or who refuses to obey what he's commanded to do? Or who refuses to have Christ as his Savior? Can he be saved?
No.
Well, then all those things are works. Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand that in perspective. Can you be saved by your good works and rejecting Christ?
No.
Can you receive Spirit, Holy Spirit, by your good works and rejecting Christ?
No.
Okay, so you have to say, okay, well, how is this connecting? So I know the only way I can receive Spirit, Holy Spirit, is to make Christ my master, which means I'm his what?
Servant.
So I'm going, if I'm entering into a covenant relationship, I am entering in as a what?
Servant.
To serve.
Yeah.
And can I be saved with refusing to serve?
Yes.
No, but that's works. I'm going to have to do that, so I have to understand these things to be able to say, okay, yes, I know it says this, but this also must be taken into consideration. Here's another one. Romans 3:10. And nobody can be saved, and so the whole thing now is nobody can be saved, nobody could ever be saved. No matter what you do, it's not good enough, period.
So everybody's saved.
Yeah, yeah. And so even as written, Romans 3:10, even as written, there is none righteous, not even one. Was that true? No, because you have contrary verses.
It's righteous Lot.
Yeah, well, here is, you know, Genesis 6:9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah is a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Here is Luke 1:5-6. And it came to pass in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest by name Zechariah of the daily course of Abib, and that he had a wife of the daughters of Aharon, and her name was Elizabeth. Now they were both what?
Righteous
before God. Here's Joseph, Matthew 1:19. However, Joseph, her husband, being righteous and yet unwilling to expose her, intended privately to divorce her. These are righteous individuals. Why? Because they were keeping the covenant. So we must understand keeping the covenant, which is to love Yahweh with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself, has not gone away in any form whatsoever. But we know the Levitical law has gone away. And we'll kind of stop. Well, here's a show you. So people can pull a verse. I got with you guys. People can pull a verse and knock you on your backside to disprove what you're saying. And so you have to be equipped to say, nah.
It is also
written. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, it is also written. You got to look at the whole picture. So here's just an example in the same book in 1 John about sin. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever hath been born of God is not committing sin, because the seed of him without him abideth, and he cannot be committing sin, because God hath he been born. Well, that's interesting. We know that whosoever hath been born of God is not committing sin. Nay, he that hath been born of God, he keepeth him, and the wicked one doth not touch him. 1 John 5:18. But contrary, the same book, 1 John 1:18, if we say sin we have not, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, that's in the same book. So these all have to be, what is the message coming when I take this and I take this? Then it must mean this.
Yeah.
So here's one part and here's another part. I don't say, I'm taking this one, throwing this away, or I'm taking this one. Right. No, I bring them all together to look at the total picture.
The bottom one, read the bottom one.
Yeah, that's judging. Yeah, and you've heard this many times. So people will say that to Elijah or anybody else. You'll say, here's what Yahweh says, and they'll say, Yahweh says, don't do that. And they'll say, judge not, lest you be judged. I mean, Julie Mahaney would always do that.
I did that.
Yeah.
I did.
And you're like, 1 Corinthians 6 says, oh, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And we have a whole chapter on judging. You have to judge.
Yeah.
But in its context, you got to realize, no.
Galatians 6:1 is judging.
Yeah, what context was this talking about? So you have to look at. So that's in relationship to, we're getting into blessing and cursing, covenants. And so, the book of Deuteronomy is the book of the covenant, Yahweh, the covenant God. And the one book I'm reading, they're talking about in a relationship to what they call a suzerain. A suzerain is a superior feudal lord to whom fealty is due. A feudal landlord to whom vassals were forced to pledge allegiance. Now, fealty is faithfulness, loyalty, devotion, duty, fidelity, obligation, a sworn loyalty. So in Old England, we used to have the suzerain who would own the land, and then you're going to work it. And so we're making an agreement. You're going to work it, and you get so much, and I get so much. You're the vassal, and the vassal is a holder of land by feudal tenure by conditions of homage and allegiance. So think of Yahweh with us. Who owns the earth?
Yeah.
Very, very simply. He is the Lord of the earth. We can own it for a period of time, but we're going to die.
Yeah.
And so you ask anybody who owned land 1,000 years ago, who has it now? You still got it? No, you don't got it anymore. So he is the suzerain, and we are the vassals. That we, you know, the earth is Yahweh's, the Lord. He allows us to use it as the vassals. And this is where the giving is so important. The first fruits, the giving to the Lord of all the earth, the first fruits of the privilege of being able to be alive with you, and we have this covenant relationship. Why were the Canaanites rejected by their suzerain, which is Yahweh? So Yahweh owns the land.
Yeah.
Remember the whole land of Canaan? He says, get it all out. You're all going to die, not because of Israel's righteousness, but because of your wickedness. You're all going to die or you're going to leave. And that would be the blessing and the curse. Very simply, the curse is you are not keeping the covenant. With me, I am the landlord. You have broken the covenant. You're all going to die. So now we have a unilateral covenant. Gotcha. You want to stand up? You okay? I know that must be torture.
I think
your head's not going. But we have a unilateral covenant, which means what? Anybody?
One. Don't remember.
One party. One party. Yeah. So a will is a unilateral covenant. So we have to know. And there's a bilateral covenant, which is two parties. The parties, both parties contribute to the ultimate agreed position. So marriage is supposed to be, anymore that has not done that, it's more of a feeling, and we're not pledging to do anything except till death do us part, which really means nothing to anybody when it comes down there, because nobody basically does that. We're trying to set that right back, but we're talking about the bilateral and unilateral. So birth is a unilateral covenant. So Adam and Eve did not ask to get put into existence, and neither did we. So Yahweh just blessed us and put us here and said, be fruitful and come and serve me if you so choose, because we're not made to do that, right?
Freedom of will.
Freedom of will. And now he says, but there is a bilateral covenant made available to each and every one of us. And what does that covenant say? What do I get out of it?
Life, age, abiding.
Life, age, abiding. The new earth. I get blessings from the Creator who will bless my existence now, which we see in Deuteronomy 28. You'll be blessed when you go in. You'll be blessed when you're going out. What does it cost me?
Fealty.
What is my job now?
Fealty.
What?
Fealty.
Fealty, which is to do what he tells me to do. You know, to obey his commandments. Very simply, obey my commandments, and you get all this. You disobey my commandments, and my sworn loyalty, you depart from my allegiance. And look at those words. Loyalty, devotion, duty, fidelity, obligation. Do you think most Christians have that in their mind when they're thinking about Yahweh? Do they think about Yahweh? Allegiance. I will never turn from you. I will never be embarrassed of you. I swear my life to you. My loyalty, you know. And so much of it, it's not a covenant. It's more of a, I think that what they believe, they've got a unilateral covenant that somebody gave them salvation, but there's no accountability on their part. So it'll be a unilateral covenant. And so we know with the bilateral covenant, it was made available to Adam and Eve, and the blessing was what, Melania, for Adam and Eve?
Life, age, abiding. They get
the earth. Well, you get the tree of life, you got the whole earth. That's good.
It's a lot of real estate.
Okay. What was the downside, Elijah?
They had to follow Yahweh's commandments.
And what was that commandment?
Not eat the tree.
Don't eat the tree. That's right. That's the downside. And guess what? If you eat the downside, what's going to happen?
Thou shalt surely die.
Thou shalt surely die, and you're going to be cursed. And here comes the curse. Ephesians 3:1. 3:14. Now we begin. Now you got a curse. How simple is this stuff to say, you mean if I break into a liquor store and kill somebody, that's going to make my life bad? I mean, really? I'm going to steal a car and I'm going to be blessed? Or somebody's just going to say, oh, that's all right. I mean, my life's going to get worse instead of better? So the look of the curse. It starts off in the serpent, 3, 14, and 15. You want to read that, Wendy?
Yeah.
Sorry. 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father.
No. 3:14. Chapter 3, Genesis.
Ephesians.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Ephesians?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I
wonder.
She's right.
Like, and
what?
He was at the front.
3:14.
I'm going to have to check on this recording. So you guys are going to
make sure. What book?
Genesis.
3:15. I'll read it.
Okay.
We all know that. Then said Yahweh Elohim unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, what a curse art thou above every tame beast, above every wild beast of the field. On thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You know, it really showed me, potentially, the serpent had a choice. Maybe to be blessed.
Wow.
You know, you think about that, because obviously he's cursed now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And it's a curse of all curses. I never thought about that. 15, in enmity will I put between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall crush thy head, but thou shalt crush his heel. You would think that was already him before he became man, but I think maybe he had a choice. Maybe this was one more chance from the destruction of the first heaven and earth. And he comes around, and all of a sudden,
wow.
That's him. Now we go into the wife, 3:16. We know it doesn't say curse, but we know unto the woman he said, I will increase the pain of pregnancy. In pain shall thou bear children. Yea, unto thy husband shall be thy longing, though he rule over thee. And for the man, 17-19, and to the man he said, because thou did hearken to the voice of thy wife, and so did eat of the tree as to which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Now remember, they broke the covenant. They had a covenant and they broke it. It's real simple. So loyalty went from Yahweh to his wife, you know, which is idolatry. And he says, you shall have no other gods besides me. So we're going to see this. A curse be the ground for thy sake, in pain shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorn and thistles, the thorns also and thistles shall shoot forth to thee when thou hast come to eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground, because therefrom wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So think of that. There's the first curse that comes in for disobeying the covenant, for breaking the covenant. Now, we know all about Noah's covenant. There's two covenants of Noah. Do you realize that? So we know the rainbow, is that a bilateral covenant or a unilateral covenant?
Unilateral.
And why is that?
Because he says he's never going to do it again.
But it's for everybody.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to flood the earth forever. So nobody else has to say, I'm going to enter into his covenant. That's a unilateral covenant. The bilateral covenant was what?
Build the ark.
And what are you going to get out of this?
Life.
Yeah. And if you don't build the ark, what are you going to get?
Death.
That's the curse. And so how do you know it's a covenant? Because you're going to get life and your family is saved because you did what I said.
Wow.
You build the ark and that's a covenant. That's a good side. The downside is, I want to sleep in. I'm not going to build this thing. And I like these guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave my friends. You're going to die. We don't have to go there, but that is life, the blessing, and cursing is death. And that was Genesis 1:16-18, the bilateral covenant. And the covenant with mankind was Genesis 9:8-11. Now we're going to talk about cutting a covenant, which began with Abram. And so the word cut is karath. K-A-R-A-T, Karath. And that is Strong's number 03772. And also on Bereath, it's Strong's number 01285 for people to look it up. But we're going to go to Genesis 15:1. this is too bad that people leave out the word cut. I think that we're not going to get it, but we would have got it very easily. And so when you see the word solemnized, it's the word cut.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so 15.1, I'm just going to begin 15.1, give you a context. After these things came the word of Yahweh unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram, I am a shield to thee, thine exceedingly great reward." Now we go to, that's the context, now we're going to 6 through 21. And Abraham had faith in Yahweh, so he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said unto him, "I am Yahweh who brought thee forth out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it." Now, will somebody read 8 to, let me see here.
20, right?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and stop you. Yeah, 8 to 21.
And he said, "My Lord Yahweh, whereby can I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said unto him, "Take for me a heifer 3 years old, and a she-goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon." So he took from all these and divided them in the midst and placed each piece over against its fellow. But the birds divided he not. Then came down the birds of prey upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. And it came to pass, when the sun was about to go in and a deep sleep had fallen upon Abram, lo, a terror, a great darkness was falling upon him. And he said to Abram, "Thou must surely know that sojourners will thy seed become in a land not theirs, and shall serve them, and they will humble them 400 years. Moreover also, the nation whom they will serve, I am going to judge. And after that shall they come forth with great substance. But thou shalt go in unto thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And in the fourth generation shall they return hither, for not complete is the iniquity of the Amorites as yet." So it came to pass, when the sun had gone in, and a thick darkness had come on that, lo, there was a smoking hearth and torch of fire, which passed through between these pieces. In that day did Yahweh solemnize Abram a covenant.
In that day did Yahweh cut with Abram a covenant, saying, "To thy seed have I given this land from the river Egypt." And so we see the good side of it. As far as the river Euphrates, the Kenites, and it goes on and on and on. So that is the foundation of what we're getting into, covenant agreements. And we're going to find out later the requirements. What's on your part? So a covenant is, we're going to get this, and I'm going to give you this. It's a bilateral covenant. Let's go to 17, Genesis 17.
Chapter 17.
Yeah, chapter 17. Verse 1. And we need to read these to see the whole impact of the importance of a faithful relationship with Yahweh. You know, when people are embarrassed to even say Yahweh, it just really saddens. You know, to say, here's a creator that gave you everything, gave you life and gave you breath, or Christ that died for you, was mutilated for you, and you're afraid to wear a t-shirt or a bumper sticker, or you're afraid to use the name around your friends. And I thought, oh, how sad that is for them to see the fidelity is so limited that they will abandon you for any particular pleasure at any particular time, job-wise or anything else. There's very little. There is no covenant is really what it comes down to. It appears to be there's no covenant. But we're going to see the covenantal sign of circumcision. Abram becomes Abraham and Sarah. And so we're going to see this. And it came to pass that when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said unto him, "I am El Shaddai. Walk thou before me and come thou blameless, that I may..." Now this is the requirement. What's that say? "Walk thou before me and become thou blameless, that I may set my covenant betwixt me and thee, and may multiply thee exceedingly. So this is here's the blessing on the side. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim spake with him, saying, as for me, lo, my covenant is with thee. So shall thou become a father of a multitude of nations. And thy name shall no more be called Abram, but by thy name shall become Abraham, for father of a multitude nation have I appointed thee, and I will make thee fruitful exceedingly, and will grant thee to be nations. That's the upside. Yea, kings out of thee shall come forward. Wow. And I will confirm my covenant betwixt me and thee, and thy seed after thee to their generation for an age-abiding covenant. So that's great. You can pass it on to your children and grandchildren if they so like them. That's what he's done with us. You know, we're in the Abrahamic covenant. Let me see. To become to thee a God, and to thy seed after thee, and I will give to thee and to thy seed after thee the land of thy sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for age abiding possession, and I will be to them an Elohim. And Elohim said unto Abraham, but as for thee, my covenant must thou keep. So here's a requirement. But as for thee, my covenant must thou keep, thou and thy seed after thee to their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep betwixt me and you, and thy seed after thee, to circumcise you every male. So shall ye be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and you're going to see the cutting, that cutting of covenant. There's the blood. So shall become a sign of a covenant betwixt me and you. And so that is the thou covenant thou must keep. Now we're going to go to 21, 27, chapter 21, verse 27. And here is Abraham cutting a covenant with Abimelech. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave to Abimelech, and they too cut a covenant. So you see solemnized?
Mm-hmm.
It's cut. And that is, what did I say?
Hebrew word. First reading, I'm sorry. 21.
Yeah, 21, 27.
27, okay.
Korath. Yeah, that was it, Korath. Now we go into Moses, which obviously we know the Ark of the Covenant. We know this is the Book of the Covenant. So I think my objective is, with all of us, is to get us back thinking into a covenant relationship. The fidelity, loyalty, allegiance. I pledge allegiance. So actually, when we are born in the United States, in essence, or let's say mom, when she became a U.S. citizen, she actually entered into a covenant. And what was your part? You had to swear allegiance.
Swear allegiance to the flag.
The United States of America, the laws of the United States. And so for you to enter into a covenant, she had to swear allegiance away from
Canada.
There's only one. We're not going to have you know, that's why it's nice not to have dual citizenship. You can't have allegiance to both. But you're going to give up your old country to get this country. And what do you get out of it? You get the rights of a citizen of the United States. So think of that as a covenant.
I become a Roman.
Yeah. So the Ark of the Covenant, people say, well, the Ark of the Covenant, that was just the Old Testament. Well, it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Let's go there. And let's think about the book of Revelation. Do you see the blessing in the book of Revelation and the cursing? For the people who are going to not get the mark of the beast?
Blessing.
Yeah, they're going to get a blessing. For the people who are going to get the mark of the beast, what are they going to get?
Curse.
They're going to get the curse. So it's applying to the end of the book. 11, verse 15 and 19. And the seventh messenger sounded, and there came to be a loud voice in heaven, saying, the kingdom of the world hath become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign of the age of ages. And the 24 elders before Yahweh do sit upon their thrones, fell down upon their faces, and render homage unto Yahweh, saying, we give thanks unto thee. Yeah, look at the reverence, you know, I mean. If Christ came into this room, if you would not hit the ground, your face to the ground, you're not where you're supposed to be with all of us. And like, kiss his feet. I mean, we should be kissing his feet. Otherwise, our heart's not in the right place. Look at these 24 elders who are with Yahweh for eternity, probably. We give thanks unto thee, O Yahweh Elohim of hosts, who is and who was before thou hast taken thy great power and hast become king. And the nations were angered, and thy anger came, and it fit time of the dead to be vindicated and to give the reward unto thy servants the prophets. There's the blessing. And unto thy servants, saints, and unto them who revere thy name. Here's the blessing. The small and the great, and to do what?
Spoil.
He spoiled them who were despoiling the earth. And the sanctuary of Yahweh, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of the what?
His covenant.
Of his covenant is his sanctuary appeared. And there can be lightning and voices and thunderings and an earthquake of great hell. So you've got, okay, look at that. You might want to know where the Ark of the Covenant is. Here it is. Last time, it appears to be right there. So now we go to Exodus, back to Moses, the Ark of the Covenant, chapter 19. Remember, this will be two parts. I'll try to eat in about 10 or 15 minutes. Because we could read just the highlights, but I think we need to read, go back and read, get us into a covenant mindset. Of agreeing, I am agreeing to this, and I think when people are asked about, do you want to be saved? Do you want to do this? You have to say, in order to do that, here's your agreement. Here's what you're going to agree to. And there's actually in the New Testament 1,000 rules in the epistles. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Put away lying. Stop fornication. Don't be drunk. We know that. I got a person you've listed. I didn't count them all. They said 1,000. So here's all the verses. There's rules. There's rules. Are you willing to do this? If that's what you're saying, you're not going to do these things. You're not going to do these things, but you are going to do these things. You're going to let no putrid discourse proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Are you going to agree to that? No, I'm not going to agree to that. How about you shall not fornicate? Well, I'm not going to agree with that either. But I'm wanting to go to heaven. Yeah, so I'm just going to make Jesus my Lord and keep fornicating. So, I mean, that's the salvation tense that we have many times today is, and come on up. And they never lay out, here's the covenant. Here's what you're required to do, and here's what you're going to get. All right, here's what you receive, but here's what you're required to do. Are you willing to do that? Are you going to fail at different times? Oh, absolutely. We're all going to sin. Then you say, I ask for forgiveness, and you get right back up there, and you put your faithfulness and your sworn. And now we go to 19, but that's what we need to get back to. And here's an example of it, 19, 1 through 8. The arrival at Sinai, Israel invited to enter with covenant. And they called them the covenant people. Guess what? We are covenant people. We obey what Yahweh tells us, and we receive the blessings that Yahweh gives us. Now, so what relationship do I have another abiding Christian? They're a covenant people. Now, so we've all made an agreement with the same boss. Mm-hmm. The other people have not made it. They've actually maybe rejected it or never got offered it, but they're not part of this covenant. So, in the third month, by the coming forth of the sons of Israel of the land of Egypt, on this day came they into the desert of Sinai. Then it was that they break up out of Rephaim and came into the desert of Sinai and encamped in the desert. Yea, Israel encamped there before the mountain. And when Moses had gone up unto Elohim, then called Yahweh unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Was that the curse?
Yep.
Yeah, he did. And obviously, Revelation really reflects a lot of that. And how I bear you upon wings of evil. Is that the blessing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was. You were really separated. And brought you in unto myself. Think of that. What a privilege it is when you have a sovereign who, to us, we're like a mite, or no, we're not even a flea, or the smallest thing that could be on a grain of sand, and Yahweh wants to make a covenant with me individually. God, the privilege. 5, now therefore, if you will indeed hearken to my voice, that's the requirement, right? You will hearken unto my voice and keep my what?
Covenant.
My covenant. Then shall you be what? Mine. As a treasure beyond all the peoples, for mine is all the earth. God, think, why would I turn that down? And how do I get that?
Obedience.
Do what I say. Got it. I'm in. 100%. God, the creator of the universe? Whew. But ye shall be mine as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the sons of Israel. Then came Moses and called for the elders of the people and put before them all these words which Yahweh had commanded him. And all the people responded together and said, what?
All that Yahweh hath spoken we will do.
Are they entering into the covenant?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We will do, and Moses took back the words of the people unto Yahweh. Like, I don't know if you had your intercom on, but I'll tell you what they told you.
No.
I want to be on the record.
I negotiated it out,
yeah.
And they said yes.
Yeah, they said it.
Thank you.
Now we go to 20, verse 1, and we see, okay, you guys, here's the covenant. Here's the covenant. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh thy Elohim. Can you have any other gods?
No.
Mm-hmm. No. Can you marry a woman who doesn't have a covenant with me?
No.
No.
No. Can you marry a man who does not have a covenant with me?
No.
Because you cannot be a family that way. Because they have another god. So everybody has a god. It's either Yahweh or something else. And that's not acceptable. We'll see that later on. I am Yahweh the God who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of service. Thou hast no other gods besides me. And so it's very simple. This is the perfect. It's the only one of the Ten Commandments. It's in the perfect state, which means you don't have any other gods. That's it. Christianity today has 3, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
You know, how can you say, how could we have got that bad? But that's what it is. You know the rest of them. So we're going to go to chapter 24 of Exodus 3 through 8. And so he goes up to the mountain. They say, we can't hear this.
You're scared.
Us the devil, he could have. I mean, Yahweh meant to, hey, don't mess with me. I mean, it really comes down to, I can imagine the loudest thunder crack and say, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I can blow your ears out in a second.
Yeah.
I can pop your head off in a second. I mean, this is nothing. I created this sun, for goodness sakes. So I want to get you some respect. I want some respect. I want you to fear me. And so you come out of this sign, you're like, and people are saying, you did it. They're all standing there, little pea puddles around.
I'll bet.
Oh my
God. Good thing they have robes on.
Did they get my point across?
Yeah, message yeah. Received.
Yeah, message received. Man, don't mess with me. That should be, and that's with all of us. Yeah. Okay. 3, so Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of Yahweh and all the regulations, which is a lot more besides the Ten Commandments. You know, don't sodomize. You know, don't commit fornication. Don't steal from your neighbor. Don't kidnap your neighbor. You know, if you do, what? You're going to die.
Okay.
I mean, if you kill somebody else, you're going to die. And if you commit adultery, you're going to die. Do you agree to that? Why don't I die? Well, then don't do those things. Yeah. Those are very severe. Well, don't do those things. I mean, it just up. Don't do it. All right. And so all that, and verse 4, Then wrote Moses all the words of Yahweh, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the mountain, and the 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the house of Israel, and they caused them to go up and send him sacrifices and slew peace offerings of Yahweh of corn, and this is where they're to be cutting a covenant. Then took Moses half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood dashed it over the altar. Then took he the book of the what?
Covenant.
The covenant. And read in the ears of the people, and they said, are you agreeing to this? And so this is what should be done in every revival. Yeah. All right, what did he do? He presented the terms of the covenant.
Yeah.
Read into their ears, and you're not going to do that in an hour. In a crusade with Billy Graham, you're not going to do it. It's impossible. A person's never even opened a Bible in their life. You know, you can't. You have to say, here's a booklet, read this. But we want head counts. And to say, we had 1,000 people saved at our deal. And that's what all of them will do. They'll just count the people. Saved. You want Jesus? I want Jesus. Okay, there's one, here's one, two. We had 5,000 people saved last night. Right? And there's no way, because they haven't heard the covenant. I mean, whether it's saved or not, but they haven't heard the covenant. You have to know what you're agreeing to. Let me see.
Verse 8.
Oh, yeah. 7 again. He took the book of the covenant and read in the ears of the people, and they said, all that Yahweh has spoken will we do, and we'll hearken. So you're going in full force. Then Yahweh took the blood.
Moses
took the blood. And dashed over the people and said, lo, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has cut with you, has solemnized again, cut with you over all these words. Christ does the same thing. The next time it says the blood of the covenant is during communion in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Where he's talking about the bread, this is my body, this is the blood, and I am, this is the blood of the covenant, the agreement. Off the subject, I'm going to chase a rabbit for a minute. Where people talk about the Gospels or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all right, they're personal accounts. I started thinking about that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have the account of Peter, James, and John on the Mount. Were Matthew, Mark, and Luke there?
No.
On the Mount? No, they were not. John was on the Mount, but it's not in the book of John. So think about that. And so these are not personal accounts. First thing, Matthew didn't write it. Mark didn't write it. Luke didn't write it. John didn't write it. He didn't say who wrote them.
Right.
They're the words of Yahweh. Another interesting thing, too, is when the Canaanite woman, I just was listening to this today, the Canaanite woman who was a Gentile and said, come and heal my daughter, she's demonized. And finally he says, she's healed. She went home and found out what? She was healed. Well, was Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John there at her house?
No.
Well, how could they write that, that when she got home, they were healed? You know, it's the same way with the, it goes on and on and on, where you're reading people's minds and their thoughts, and the guys aren't even anywhere to be around, and all these things are coming. Just nonsense. It's just absolutely nonsense. You know? So we got to be honest and just point out to some things like that to say...
Jesus talking to Pontius Pilate, are you the Christ?
Yeah, yeah. The private conversation and being beaten and it is on and on. So you start looking at all this stuff, but that's... that was my rabbit. But we need to get that foundation where you come right back to them. We've thought about it and just say, think about this. And Peter, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, none of them were there. So how could it be a personal account?
Amen.
So it wasn't. And even John was there, didn't write it. Now we go to, in Exodus 32, he dies with the blood on their covenant. 40 days later, he goes back up to the mountain. 40 days later, comes down. What happens?
They're gone.
They're God. They're a golden calf. Blessing or cursing is coming down.
Cursing.
What happens? A lot of them die. So that they ground up the gold thing. That's the cursing. You know, cursing is a justifiable agreement. Be able to say, don't do that.
It's consequences.
Yeah, consequences like that. So we have to take that into consideration. And now we go to 34. We'll end there, I think,
for next
week. Exodus 34, 10.
They're burning your parents' house down. What do you mean there's consequences?
I know, yeah. But I don't want to be under the law. I don't want to be honest. I want to be a free, willing ranger. And you know, so I just did a post today, you know, about, you know, Paul says, you know, be imitators of me because I'm an imitator of Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 4, he says, I speak in tongues more than y'all. And then he says, I would that you all speak in tongues. And he says that tongues, why wouldn't you, are not speaking to man, but speaking unto God. And then, you know, covet to prophesy, or be zealous to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Be imitators of me. How much simpler can this be? And he just said, no. You know, and that's just rebellion is what it comes down to. It's just absolute rebellion. And Yahweh deals with it, but 34, 10 through 16. And this is a great time because this is after 34:6. Let's just read that. So Yahweh passed before Moses and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, an El of Ramah and Hana, slow to anger and abundant in Hesed and Emet, keeping Hesed to 1,000 generations. Those words are so important. I'm chasing rabbits again, dude. But this is the refrain of the whole book of the Word of Yahweh. Who is Yahweh? Yahweh, Yahweh, El Raham. What is Raham? And favor, Hana. Slow to anger and abundant in Hesed. So we know what Hesed is. But now we're in the same chapter, 34, 10, verse 16. And he said, lo, I am about to cut a covenant, and in the presence of all thy people will I do marvelous things. You think they could have put cut there?
Yeah.
I mean, I think very simple. I got it. Yeah. You know, why did, and everybody else would say made a covenant. Those are the word made. Yeah. You know, the King James, things like that too. I thought, well, come on, don't do that. Which have been created in any parts of the earth, nor among any of the, let me start over again. This is great. Lo, let me see here. Lo, I'm about to solemnize a covenant in the presence of all thy people will I do marvelous, this is Yahweh, which have not been created in any part of the earth, not among any of the nations, shall all the people in whose midst thou art see the work of Yahweh, for a fearful thing it is which I am doing with thee. Take thou heed what I am commanding thee this day. Behold me, driving out before thee the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Take heed to thyself, lest thou cut a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. This is our problem. This is our pollution. This is our what Melania taught about, bringing the demon home.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you cut a covenant with an unbeliever, and they're your best friend, or you marry that unbeliever, you have now breaking your covenant.
Yeah.
There's no way you can keep your covenant. And this is where we see in 1 Corinthians 7 where it talks about if you are a person who gets saved and your partner, your husband or wife does not want it, it says if they want to remain with you, let them remain. You could save them. But if they want to leave, what happens?
Let them go.
Let them go. Because you're not compatible. If you cannot be compatible with somebody who has not entered into a covenant with Yahweh. Lest thou solemnize a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whereinto thou art about to enter. Lest he become a what? A snare in thy midst. And like Melania said, you think you can do this? You think you can have a demon in the closet and be like a magazine and just pull it out when you want to and then put it back and I'm going to contain this demon. or drug or anything else I'm doing it because it's just between me and this demon. You know, I don't need that. And guess what? Demons have friends. And so, yeah, they bring people in that we know about Legion. Wow. And so how did one person... He started off with one demon. And then you get more demons and more demons and more demons and more demons. That's it. Think of that. And Yahweh's telling you, don't do this. 13, for their altars shall you smash, and their pillars shall you shiver, and their sacred stems shall you fail. For thou shalt not bow thyself down to another El. For as for Yahweh, jealous is his name, a jealous El is he. Lest thou cut a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and then as surely as they go unchastely after their gods, so right now, sodomy, homosexuality, Christians accepting it, because we're accepting pot, we're accepting the Democrat Party, as sacrifice to their gods, so surely will he invite thee, and thou wilt eat of his sacrifices, and thou wilt take of his daughters for thy sons, and his daughters will go unchastely after their gods, and will cause thy sons to go unchastely after their gods. I thought I was going to end here one more. This actually happened. Nehemiah 9, verse 1, page 477. Now, this is the downfall of Israel after Judah fell. We'll just hit the kind of highlights. And 1 through 3, chapter 9, 1 through 3. And on the 24th day of this month were the sons of Israel gathered. Remember, Nehemiah is after Israel has fallen. They fell 150 years before Judah fell. And Judah then falls. Josiah was the last righteous king. And then they go into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And now they've come back. So, like I was telling Mama, Judah was worse than the Canaanites that they ejected. So, who is the God of the earth?
Yeah.
Isaiah? Who's the God of the earth?
Yahweh.
And so did he kick out Israel and Judah of their land? Yes, he did. He let Nebuchadnezzar come and get it.
An eviction notice.
Yeah, eviction notice. You're out. All right. Well, were your covenant people?
Squatters.
Yeah.
No, the covenant you broke. The covenant is no longer in effect. Now, on the 24th day of this month, when the sons of Israel gathered together with fasting and with sackcloth, having earth upon them, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all the sons of the who?
Foreigners.
And stood and made confession with their own sins and the iniquity of their fathers. So they stood in their place and read in the book of the law of Yahweh, their Elohim, a fourth part of the day, and a fourth part they were making confession and bowing themselves down to Yahweh, their Elohim. Then stood up on the platform of the Levites, of these guys, made without, let's see here. 1, 2, 3. Oh, let's go to 10, verse 10. Chapter 10, verse 10.
Chapter 10.
Yeah. Let me see here. Chapter 10, verse 10 through 12. That's not right. Let's see, maybe it was 11. Well, I wrote it down incorrectly. Let me see, 44. Oh, okay, wait a minute here. I was on Nehemiah, I was supposed to be on Ezra.
Well, your page number was Ezra, then you said Nehemiah.
Oh, did I? Yeah, I thought it was that. Okay, but it
Ezra
is.
Ezra, what chapter?
9.
Yeah, Ezra 9, 1 through 3. But my Nehemiah was lying under that. I'm sorry. Man, I'm off script.
What verse?
Chapter 9, verse 1. This is May. That's two mistakes. I'm not going to make it for the rest of the month. Ah, here we go. Now when these things were ended, the rulers drew near unto him, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not kept themselves separate from the people of the land. In the view of the abomination, either the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have intermingled themselves among the peoples of the land, and the hand of the rulers and the deputies hath in their unfaithfulness been foremost. When I heard these things, I ripped my garment, my robe, and tore out of the hair of my head and my beard, and sat stunned. Now, you've broken the covenant. You've been told not to do this. Yahweh specifically said, don't cut a covenant with him. If you marry somebody, did you make a covenant? Yes, you did. You made a covenant with that person. And so now we go to chapter 10, verse 10. Then arose Ezra the priest and said unto them, he had acted unfaithfully and hath married foreign women to add unto the guilt of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto Yahweh, Elohim your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the foreign women. You're going to divorce them. Very simple. You have to do that. Well, it says not to divorce. 18. Now there was found in the people the priest who had married foreign women. So the priests had married foreign women. The whole leaders, in verse 44, and all these different priests had taken foreign women and had begotten of them children. What an absolute mess, because why? You did not know the book of the covenant. Or you broke the book of the covenant. Yeah, you went right in.
Well, if you don't read it, if you don't know it.
Well, if you don't have it, it's not in your possession. As we're going to see the next time I do it, Josiah found it, the book of the law, and ripped his clothes, because we've all had that. Well, we've had a lifestyle before we got in the Word, and all of a sudden we open this book and say, yikes. Mm-hmm. I've done that. Oh my goodness, that's Josiah. And he's looking around Jerusalem. You still got pagan gods from Solomon there. He's been there 350 years, and so we look around with Mary, and you look at the Mormon faith, and I look at the Catholic faith, and all of a sudden it's very clear where they're not in covenant relationship with Yahweh. They're actually have intermingled with the foreigners, and so we'll stop there. And so I'll give a prophecy, and we'll get part two some other time. Lord Father, we thank you for these words, for these people, through Christ our Lord. Be bold and courageous, because you are victors. I've made you victors because you are my children, my sons and my daughter, whom I've set up on high through my son, Mashiach Yahushua. So as you obey him, you will empower yourself to be well-pleasing in my sight, and I will empower you through Ruach HaKodesh in order that you may bring pass the miraculous to set people captive from darkness and put them into the light. Amen.
Amen.
See you later.